With the new book Jefferson's America, The President, The Purchase, and The Explorers Who Transformed a Nation, historian Julie Fenster sheds new light on a key aspect of Jefferson's presidency. For the first time, Fenster offers a complete view of Jefferson's mighty age of exploration, focusing on four expeditions that he sent west in addition to the famous journey of Lewis and Clark. Again, the name of the book is Jefferson's America, The President, The Purchase, and The Explorers Who Transformed a Nation. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Julie Fenster to the roundtable this morning. Julie, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Joe. Thank you very much.
What brought you to this particular subject of telling this rather surprising story?
I guess because it surprised me to hear that, as a kind of a fan of Lewis and Clark, when I heard that Jefferson had actually sent out four other expeditions, some of which were maybe even more important than Lewis and Clark. I delved into it and thought and found that there were great stories there.
So let us talk about the impetus of the idea. At what point in Jefferson's time in life did he decide to do this and have the idea for exploration and sending these expeditions out west?
The first expedition was Lewis and Clark, which he actually instigated before the Louisiana Purchase, just to make America known out west. But when we actually attained the Louisiana territory, he had a big problem because our mortal enemy at that point was Spain, which was encroaching along the Mexican and Texas border. The problem was we didn't know where the border was exactly. When Napoleon sold us Louisiana, he purposely refused to designate any exact border. So Jefferson had bought this territory and wasn't exactly sure where the border was. So one of his first reasons, or as you say, the impetus for sending expeditions, was to establish some kind of border with those nasty Spanish down in the Southwest.
And the stakes were very high, weren't they?
They really were. I really think we could have been at war at any point in this span of, 1803 to 1807. It was so similar to the Cold War in our own time with the Soviet Union, where people some people really wanted a war with Spain. Jefferson did not, partially because he was a pacifist, partially because he didn't really have the army or the money to fight a major power. And so he kind of came up with a brilliant idea, which was that sending scientific, and I put that kind of in quotes, but scientific explorers would at least put American boots on the ground and knit that territory back with the people on the eastern seaboard. They would learn more about the West and feel more bonded to it. And most of all, it would show the Spanish that we were out there. I think if he hadn't done anything at all, the Spanish probably would have held their ground and fought, maybe even attacked us for that territory. But he showed that we were serious about holding it.
So why do we know so much more about Lewis and Clark than we do about the other teams that were sent west?
That, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. The other stories are significant, as I just said, in military or diplomatic terms, and they were also exciting, and the personalities were fun. I don't say that in any detriment to Lewis and Clark. I guess, their personalities and the scope of their expedition was magnificent. And it rose to the top in their day and kind of stayed there. I think there was also, my own theory is that Jefferson was a master of public relations, and I think that the friction along the border was not something he was, proud of. I think, the criticism that he had bought Louisiana without knowing its borders might have hit home. So it may have been that he didn't want to really promote afterward the heroism of the explorers in the Southwest. That's my own little theory. But again, I guess I wrote the book. I usually write every book because I'm kind of angry about something, and I'm a little bit angry that nobody's ever heard of Hunter and Dunbar and Freeman and barely heard of Zebulon Pike. These are great figures.
So tell us a little bit about them and how they were chosen, especially after Lewis and Clark.
Well, I guess people know that Jefferson knew Meriwether Lewis. In fact, Lewis worked for him. So that was a pretty easy choice. And Lewis wanted Clark to go with him. Neither of those men were particularly scientific, though Lewis took crash courses in high science before the expedition. After that, Jefferson specifically tried to find scientists, and most of the vast majority of the scientists he contacted opted out, said, what do I need to go into a dangerous foreign territory for a two-year, you know, commitment to a horribly difficult exploration? So the men who said yes, I consider to be fantastic patriots, because I don't think there was any profit motive, obviously, and they're also, even in that day, I don't think they expected to be made heroes. I think they did it because the president asked. So he knew one of the explorers was William Dunbar, known as the first scientist of the South nowadays. He lived in Natchez. Sorry to report that he was very wealthy because he was an adamant slaveholder and used his wealth to buy scientific instruments from Edinburgh and London. So he was Jefferson's type. Jefferson really liked a man of science so far out on the frontier. Hunter was a wholesale chemist in Philadelphia, and Hunter and Dunbar did the first exploration after the Louisiana Purchase. They explored Louisiana itself and parts of Arkansas, making it all the way to Hot Springs. And, they were so intrepid that when they went up this Washita River, and the river, because nobody knew anything about it, the river they found suddenly turned into a gravel pit. There was no water in the river. And they kept going. So, you know, in their boat, fully loaded barge, they found a way to move this darn barge up a gravel pit, is what it amounted to, until they got to water again. So I can't say enough about how they would not stop, these Jeffersonian explorers.
Mm-hmm.
Zebulon Pike was an Army officer who would absolutely go through a wall if his commander told him to, and he was sent to the headwaters of the Mississippi River, and then after that, sent on a western expedition that went through Colorado, and ultimately, Pike was captured by the Spanish in this Cold War atmosphere. And the last explorer is one that I think might be the most courageous, because he helped define the border as the Red River, which goes between the current day states of Oklahoma and Texas. But at the time, the Spanish army was literally waiting for Freeman and his couple of dozen men. So they explored the Red River, knowing that they were going right into the jaws of the Spanish army. And it was largely because of an Indian, the Caddo chief named Dehawit, who I nominate for Mount Rushmore, because it was largely because of him that it didn't turn to carnage and, you know, start what could have been what I kind of laughingly or, you know, in quotes, call the War of Louisiana. We never had the War of Louisiana. And it didn't start on that river, thanks to this fantastic Indian chief who knew more about diplomacy than I think even Mr. Jefferson.
You do make the point in the book, which I found interesting, that these teams were not always terrifically matched. They weren't always well matched.
Yeah, exactly. They were these expeditions were kind of rushed because Jefferson had these motives that we've been talking about. So he didn't have time to let the men work together first. And So in some cases, there were, you know, class distinctions that made for a little friction. And in other cases, there were differences of morality that led to disaster, you know, I mean, real friction. So there's kind of a human element that if you, like today, take a long car ride with almost anybody, you get to know them maybe too well at some point. And yet, again, as I say, not only did they go up rivers that had no water, they kept going even when they didn't like each other. They made their peace and kept going for Jefferson's sake.
When it comes to the success rate, I mean, that's the other thing that's so fascinating about this, is that they really never let Jefferson down, did they?
Yeah, and I'm very touched by that. One of the man that I was mentioning, the chemist from Philadelphia, he arrived in America in about 1775, I think it was, and almost immediately joined the Revolutionary Army. And, you know, months later was crossing the Delaware with George Washington. And then 30 years later, he left his family at home to go explore dangerous territory for Jefferson. So I'm very just touched by the, you know, there's a lot of definitions of patriotism, but I think leaving your comfortable home just because the president asked is one that we see in these people. I really admire all of them as patriots.
What do you hope most people get out of the book?
I guess the feeling that our nation was kind of losing its way. It really was. Even in the newspapers of the day, there was talk all the time in these early days of the 1800s about how the whole nation was money mad. And, you know, for good reason, there was a lot of profit to be made. But we were just turning into a money nation with no idealism. And this first generation of Jeffersonian explorers, in addition to everything we've been talking about, geography, they also gave the nation young heroes that were selfless. And I think that continues right up to today, that there's a time to put your own future aside in favor of the future of the nation. So, you know, in the early 1800s, these names were well known. The pictures were up in all the homes and things like that. And maybe they've been forgotten. Maybe it's time to kind of renew a relationship with our first generation of non-military heroes.
The name of the book is Jefferson's America, The President, The Purchase, and The Explorers Who Transformed a Nation. The book is published by Crown. Julie Fenster, thank you so much for joining us this morning. A delight to have you on the program.
What a pleasure. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you so much. Again, the title of the book is Jefferson's America. It is published by Crown. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.